This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll stir your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hey, everyone, it's Dave Denton back on Turnbuckle Trash today. I think we have an interesting podcast for you about the world of professional wrestling. We'll be talking to Zane about some things that are just going on. I will tell you, Zane might be a little bit hard to hear because I messed up again. So what else is new? But we'll also be joined by Chris on the mat. We're talking about All In. And we have a female perspective on professional wrestling. A big fan that I've known for years, but I didn't know she was a fan. We'll be joined by Lisa Johnson later today on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It is Turnbuckle Trash. It is Dave and Zane today. Hi, Zane.
So if you were to tell me to come inside, or you would say we would be going inside the arena to the WWE live show that's coming to Salt Lake in June.
I hope so, man. Remember when they first announced it, I contacted the WWE about getting an interview with one of their superstars, like I always try to do, you know. I mentioned that we had added the radio station permission to use it on my show, and also putting it on our CashValleyDaily.com, and also to use it on portions of our Turnbuckle Trash podcast. They turned it down.
Well, of course, it's because
you're not big enough.
Yeah, I guess if I was in Salt Lake City, it would be fine, but, oh, jeez, I was, I'll tell you what, disappointed, because all it would take was be 10 minutes out of somebody's day. I could promote their event and have something that would be of interest to a big portion of my fan base that I have as far as my radio show goes, and I was really disappointed, but all I did was said, thank you for your consideration. I'll be contacted another time. So it just ticked me off, to be honest with you. So,
well, yeah, I don't know. It's strange to me how, I don't know. I mean, I've reached out to several people and I don't know if they're not interested in promoting their products or what. I mean, I've reached out to even smaller more local promotions like in Las Vegas and stuff, and I call them and leave messages and email them, and I don't know.
It's their problem, not ours. We'll still talk about them. We'll take the high road and you take the low road. You give me the old Shinsuke Nakamura right in the Gabonza beans and we'll be happy. By the way, you posted something on Facebook the other day that you had recorded a few years ago of you playing the guitar and singing. Man, I've known you for a few years. I didn't even know that. You have a nice voice and you got a nice talent.
I thought I told you that was, you know, Dave, you have had the privilege for many years to know and to be in the presence of a Cache County Talent Find Blue Ribbon winner.
Ooh.
You know, I went to the state fair.
No, I didn't know that.
And performed in front of, like, 100 people.
There was tens of people there. Tens of people.
Tens of people.
Tens of people. No, that's pretty cool, though. You have a nice voice. I was impressed.
Well, thanks, Dave. Any of your talents, you know, you don't show either, like your knowledge of comic books.
It is a good talent, I will say. Also, the knowledge of a great collection of professional wrestling figures, which you added to. Thank you so much.
Yes, speaking of wrestling figures, you're going to have to be checking the mail soon. I don't know if I have decided if I'm going to ship them to you or wait till my mom comes down again, but you got some surprises coming your way.
Oh, dude, thank you. You sent me a Paul Heyman that I did not have a Paul Heyman, and I thank you very much for that.
Yeah. And have you been down since day one-ish with your action figures?
No, I am way down a few days-ish for my action figures. Ish.
Because guess what I found at Walmart?
I don't know. What did you find at Walmart? He asked.
A twin pack. A double team pack of... Ooh!
So, that is cool, man.
I don't know why your Walmart doesn't ever have a... My Walmart has WWE action figures on clearance at least every 3 months.
Oh, I don't know. I just went in to, I think it was yesterday. I didn't... They might have had two. I think they had a... let's see, it was a Kevin Owens... And they had some of those turtle figures, but they were full price, yeah.
Dude, our Walmart sucks, and we've got tons of action figures, and I bought that WWE ring for like $5. I just bought an X-Pac it's the WWE Elite, and so it's got like an NWO outfit and then a DX outfit.
Cool.
Like you can change them into, and it was $7.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Price is like $34 or something. Else.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
On to the greatest Royal Rumble.
And it was okay.
No, it was the greatest.
The greatest? The greatest.
Boy, that's an original name.
Well, you know, I found out later that the WWE has signed like a 10-year deal with Saudi Arabia to do this every year.
And so, is that a good thing for them to do?
They caught a little flack for it because there were no women's matches on the greatest Royal Rumble, but the women were there in the country, but... Because of the religious aspect of what you're dealing in Saudi Arabia, there were no matches involving the women. And then there were a couple of other things that went on, like our good friend, the people we really like, Sami Zayn, could not perform there. He did not perform there because, now, they're doing a pretty good work with this on SmackDown right now, or is it Raw? Anyway, he is of, let's see, it's not Saudi Arabia, Syrian descent, I think it is. And Saudi Arabia and Syria are not seeing eye to eye right now. And that's why they thought there would be some repercussions if Sammy did perform. Although he grew up in Canada, you know, so there was some political intrigue there. And you know, they're saying that he didn't go there because... he had vertigo because of what Bobby Lashley did to him in the ring. It's really funny, though. Sami Zayn did a bit about Bobby Lashley, saying that he was going to bring in Bobby Lashley's sisters. Did you see that one?
I didn't see that.
Monday Night Raw. I can't remember if it was Raw or if it was SmackDown. I'm getting all confused here. Okay, so Sammy gets in the ring. He starts cutting a promo on Bobby Lashley because Bobby Lashley ruined him going to the Greatest Royal Rumble because of vertigo, because of some move he did to him on the ring. And then Sammy started cutting down that horrible little interview they did with Bobby Lashley talking about his family and his sisters. And Sammy said he'd been on Facebook in contact with his sisters, and on Monday Night Raw he was going to bring in Bobby Lashley's sisters to tell a completely different story than what Bobby said. So they're setting up Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn right now. But I thought it was funny. Sammy did a great job on his promo with it. So,
okay, so I want you to keep that in the back of your mind for a second. I'm not going to interrupt our momentum of Greatest Royal Rumble, but I do want to go back to that. So,
okay,
tell me more. Tell me more.
Thank you, Olivia Newton-John.
You told me I had a good voice.
Yes. Okay. It's not that good.
You know, they told me I never had the face for radio.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, baby.
Tell me about during the Rumble itself. Oh, you put together, you sent me a pretty funny thing.
During the Royal Rumble itself, one of my favorite least used superstars, Titus O'Neil, and you know I've been a big Titus fan for years, worldwide. He had what I'm liking to call right now the Titus Worldwide Rumble Fumble.
And now, on Turnbuckle Trash, it's the Titus Worldwide
Rumble Fumble.
Oh my God! I can't believe what I just saw!
Oh my God!
Oh my God, did that happen? Oh my God, here's the replay. Titus O'Neil trying to get into the ring, and O'Neil tripped and went head first through the apron underneath the ring.
Hey, I love it when a plan comes
through. O'Neil tripped and went head first through the apron underneath the ring.
You know what, man? I just failed.
Big Titus O'Neil, come on down and make an impression.
Well, I think this man can make an impression.
Because you've been training for this your whole life.
Of course there was the infamous NXT barrel, the keg, but he had no keg this time. Go get him.
I think he threw some kegs around at the University of Florida.
What happened with Titus?
Sprinting at full speed. And his foot got caught, or a ghost came under him and swept his foot, or there was a banana peel that was hard to see.
Unbelievable! I don't believe,
I don't believe what I just saw!
All I have to say is, our partner is going to shock the world because he is none other than the Shock Factor!
I love it when a plan comes together.
You seem to know what you're doing.
And O'Neil tripped and went headfirst through the apron. That may be the greatest moment in Royal Rumble history.
So how many times have you seen him sliding under the ring, Zane? How many times now? It makes you laugh every time, doesn't it?
Did you watch them edit it over and they're like, slide to the left now?
Corey Graves was on a podcast this past week, and I was listening to part of it. And my apologies, because I'm just doing it off the top of my head. I can't remember which one it was. But Corey says every time he sees that, he loses it. He starts laughing. And they were showing video on the computers during the podcast, and he started just going at it again. It was hilarious what went on when Titus slipped, tripped, and just went right under the ring. I loved it.
As far as the Rumble itself, we see Braun Strowman wins and Vince McMahon comes out and hands him some green belt. Now, what's with the green belt? Was it just a trophy, or was it like a...
Just, you know, like the Andre the Giant trophy. It was a trophy and a belt. Okay. And it did come into play this week on Raw that he brought the trophy out with him to ringside. And they had a tag match between Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler against Finn Balor and Braun Strowman. And Strowman was trying to do his little run-through tackle. I think it was on Drew. And they knocked over the trophy, and Braun got upset and his mind was not in the ring, so there was the victory for Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler in a tag match. So it did come into play. Oh, then one more thing in that match. At one point, They cut away for a commercial break, and as soon as they came back, you see Braun Strowman in the ring. Dolph Ziggler's laying on the mat, and Finn Balor tags in. So as he tags in, Braun Strowman picks him up and body slams him right on the top of Dolph Ziggler. Finn gets up and he's got this look about him, and you hear Braun Strowman say, "Oh, you're all right. Get up, be a man." That made me laugh.
You are a man that laughs at multiple things.
I do. I find most things very humorous at times. So
do you laugh at your own jokes?
Honestly, there are times when I say something when I'm on my radio show, and I turn off the microphone and I say, "Dang, that was funny," you know, because I don't realize it's coming out of my mouth until it comes out. And I'm a little bit weird that way. Did you see who some of the surprise entrants they had this time at the Royal Rumble?
Rey Mysterio was there, wasn't he?
Rey Mysterio was there, the Great Khali, and even Hornswoggle.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Hornswoggle was trying to get up on the top rope for his tadpole splash, and he didn't quite make that top rope. Yep.
A little bit of a botch.
Yeah, he tried to put his foot up on the top, and it didn't quite go up that way, so I don't know what the problem was, but it made me laugh.
Reminds me, speaking of Hornswoggle, you had an event up in Logan. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, yes.
Did you end up making it out to that?
Oh, I wish I had, but I did not. You know, I've been a little bit sick the last few weeks, and I was not feeling very well at all. But right maybe two blocks from where I live, there was midget professional wrestling.
Well, my good friend Brian Caudill, do you remember Brian?
Yes, I do, yeah.
He went to UCW Zero with us. He went, and he said that we didn't miss that much.
Oh, okay.
He said it was pretty good for about the first, 20 minutes, but then they must not have a very big roster, because he said they started rotating through the same people again.
Oh, yeah.
So he said that it was, after about 20 minutes, he said it got kind of old.
Wrestling, even if it's a midget event, it's still good.
Yeah, it would be fun. So, yeah, we got through with the big, the greatest Royal Rumble. The big controversy with, once again, Roman and Brock. Who's tired of Roman and Brock? Raise your hand. Okay, I am. They had that cage match, the steel cage match, and Roman took a beating, and then he did a spear right through the steel cage. And since Brock's back hit the floor, not his 2 feet, that he was declared the winner and still the champion. So.
Okay, fine, whatever. You want Brock to stay the champ. You want Brock to look like a powerhouse, and yada, yada, yada. For hell's sakes, why don't you just give somebody else a turn? Give somebody else the limelight for a minute. Why can't Dolph Ziggler go against Brock Lesnar? Why can't Finn Balor go against Brock Lesnar? Why can't anybody on the roster go against Brock Lesnar? Why does it have to be Roman and Brock all over again and again and again and again and again and again?
Don't know. It's just, it's frustrating to me as a fan that this feud between the two has been so drawn out. It's like they can't say, okay, let's bring in Samoa Joe again. Let's let him go up against Strowman, or maybe bring Strowman in there against Brock or something. I don't quite comprehend the reasoning behind it.
I don't get it either.
But, yeah, there's been a few other good matches around.
I don't know. I guess there's a reason why we're not WWE creative, right?
Because we're not that creative.
No. Why isn't Rollins in the main event picture?
They're with him holding the IC title now, they're calling it Monday Night Rollins every time he's in the ring, which...
Good. Better than Monday Night Rollins?
What?
They're not Jericho.
I've never heard of that. I wonder where that came from. They probably stole it from Rollins, didn't they?
Welcome to WCW Monday
Night Jericho. It's time to mix it. You know what they're going to do, don't you? It's going.
Bryan will beat AJ Styles or whoever, somebody, and then he'll feud with The Miz.
Yeah, I think Daniel Bryan, they're setting up a feud with The Miz, with Daniel. I just got to think that with Shinsuke Nakamura winning on Tuesday night with AJ, against AJ Styles, not with a low blow or, you know, wachabi shot, it was just playing a little heel trickery, and he won the match, and now he gets to set the stipulations for their title match at Money in the Bank. So
could have been Money in the Bank, man. It's The Miz.
He's going to be in there. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. They're doing it with competitors from both shows, and whoever wins gets to pick. Gets to pick the title. So
maybe you're not ready to advance onto this yet.
Well, let's go ahead.
The rumor on the street is that Big Cass went off script and is in big trouble for it.
Well, yeah, Big Cass had a spot when Daniel couldn't be there right after the Greatest Royal Rumble. I don't know if you saw Daniel's chest after that Rumble match, but Roderick Strong just beat on his chest with those chops, and they were a little concerned that he could bust open some of those bruises and get an infection in there. So they let him sit out a week to heal up. And so they did a quick little thing with Big Cass and a little person, a midget, a wrestler from wherever they were, I think from Pittsburgh. And they had him dress up like Daniel Bryan with a beard and everything. They came into the ring. And evidently what was supposed to happen was Cass was just supposed to give him that big boot and then go down. Well, Cass had been saying, you know, we need to do more than just the boot. So he was told not to, and he continued to beat on this wrestler's head that was dressed up like Daniel Bryan, and evidently Vince was not happy. Although I got to say this, during the match with Daniel and Big Cass, if you watch it very closely, you start hearing the crowd chanting, "We want Enzo." It was so funny. And then with the news that came out of it, Enzo, this week, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. So,
yeah. Well, so we went from the Greatest Royal Rumble right into
Backlash.
And that, I gotta tell you, that Miz versus Seth Rollins match was one of the best matches I've seen in a long time.
It set the stage, didn't it? Really, really good. A lot of people are saying a match of the year possibility. I mean, two pros going at it. That's what you got to say.
Well, and I just cannot get over how, dude, The Miz has been, must be spending some serious time in the WWE Performance Center or something, because he has improved his game so much. You know, there's still, of course, you know, there's still going to be some haters out there, people saying that he can't wrestle, and I'm like, who are you guys? He is good for the background that he came from, and to get to where he is right now is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I think that he's just doing the best work, not only on the mic. He's always been good on the mic, you know, just kind of a real, just great grating on your nerves kind of mic skills. But his in-ring work, I think, has improved tremendously.
Yes, I would concur, Doctor.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
So, I don't know, the whole bully thing with Nia and Alexa Bliss, that was kind of stupid. I don't care for Nia Jax that much. I don't think she's that good.
Well, she's big and strong. You can kind of understand why, because there's so much negative publicity out there right now about people that have depression problems and are getting bullied. And the WWE is using this to kind of put out the messages, don't let bullies get to you. Just teach them to count to one and just walk away, you know? Use that visual aid with the one finger and say, your opinion doesn't count to me. You know, I don't care what you think about me, and just walk off. You know, that's what I think they're trying to say.
Yeah, but it was funny how, like, Nia's three times the size of Alexa, but Alexa's the bully.
I know, isn't that funny? Yeah, and evidently there was a little bit of a shoulder issue in that match, too. Yeah, right at the very end when Nia started tossing her around, you can see right as she bounces, right before the pin, that she landed on her shoulder wrong, and when she's sitting outside of the ring, when Nia's giving that promo, she's holding her arm, and they actually helped her back to the ring with somebody holding onto her shoulder. So maybe she slightly separated it or something, but she was back to wrestling, so... And she's good. I love the psychology that she uses in the ring. Just, I love it.
Jeff Hardy versus Randy Orton, that was just average to me.
Yeah, me too. I wasn't that impressed overall. I'm saying this from somebody who's never been a big Jeff Hardy fan. You know, but it was okay. It was just a...
What is Orton's deal right now? I mean, he's kind of shifted away. Ever since he took that blow from Brock... He's kind of moved out of the main event scene.
I think they just don't know what to do with him yet, and they keep on, you know, pushing him as a face. I think he's a better heel than he is a face, but they keep on pushing him as a face, and they kind of did a little bit of a heel turn against Jeff Hardy, but you know, I think he's just one of those wrestlers now that's just kind of riding that line between good and evil.
Can you tell us a little bit more? I liked the next segment was kind of funny.
New Day, Rusev Day. That was funny. I mean, you start thinking about what they were doing in the ring. Here comes Elias. He's doing his impressions, and he says he's one of Bruce Springsteen's best friends. And
Bruce Springsteen calls him for advice.
Yeah. And then when you get the New Day coming out, and they have... Big E with the big old drum, and then you've got Kofi with the cymbals, and you've got Francesca out there with the New Day, and they start doing their pancake thing. Oh, I was laughing my head off. And then Elias starts singing a song, and then No Way Jose comes out with his conga line. I thought that was a brilliant, really, I thought it was really good. I loved that segment. Breezango was there, Titus Worldwide, and they danced onto the entrance ramp. And then while Elias was distracted, here comes Bobby Roode, and he hits Elias with his glorious DDT, and everybody starts celebrating. did you see... Bobby Roode doing his twerking. Yeah, it was funny. Rusev called Elias the bootleg Bob Dylan, and the New Day the Booty Boys. I loved it. I thought that segment was really well done.
Yes. And the ending was just pretty funny.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. What else? So Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. I don't understand this.
Well, they're trying to set up Daniel, give him a little break before he goes into his big feud, and they wanted a way to bring back in Big Cass as a heel. So it's the big guy against the little guy syndrome, and that's all that is. And I think Big Cass, a lot of people have said they didn't like what he's doing, but I've thought he's done fine with his mic work on that. Tuesday night on SmackDown, he cut a great promo on Daniel Bryan from outside of the ring. I thought it was just really well done. So I like Big Cass.
And then Carmella versus Charlotte. I don't know. What do you think was... What's the doctor say about the current SmackDown Women's Championship feud?
Well, besides Carmella just being smoking hot, I love her mic skills. And she is a very attractive lady. She's not the best in the ring, but they've got her using ring psychology, which I think is untapped potential for a lot of people that they don't learn that good ring psychology. So I like the ring psychology with her playing the, you know, the princess and that role, and just being a little snide, little conniving, you know what. But she did win, so good for her. So she has the win over.
So next we have AJ Styles versus shit stain Nakamura.
I've never thought of that name before. I've been trying to come up with some name for him, but yeah, Nakamura, that one's a good one. So yeah, so Nakamura has been turning heel, and I think, to be honest with you, I like him as a heel so much better than a babyface. He's been pulling all kinds of tricks and let me get off on a rant here, okay? Where is the really dirty, conniving, no good, do anything to win heel? There's not many of them out there. The one that will gouge somebody's eyes, somebody that will pull their hair to get out of a hold, pull the tights to get the win, put their feet on the rope to get a little extra leverage. There's not a lot of wrestlers that do that anymore. Like Ric Flair used to do. It brings so much heat onto a performer to sit there and act like they're just putting their thumb right in that guy's eye, or maybe ripping at their jaws, you know. And they might do it in a couple of matches, but they don't do it consistently. There's not that person out there.
That's why the Nate was the dirtiest player in the game.
Somebody else needs to take up that mantle and do it. The guy that gets into a hold from the face has him in a hold, and he reaches up, grabs a handful of hair and yanks him down to get out of the hold, or maybe kicks him in the gabonza beans a few times, or just does something that's underhanded. Bring all kinds of...
Both hidden in his shorts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They need to do more of that in the WWE, so...
Yeah, what happened to the brass knucks hit tucked in the trunks, you know?
Let's ask the MK Bandit. He does that.
Yeah, he does. He's got his heel... His heel knucks.
The MK Bandit, if you don't know, is working in a lot of different promotions. He's been on the podcast with us, and he also works with Tommy Dreamer at the House of Hardcore, and he plays a manager that does all that kind of thing.
Somebody compared him. They said that he was the Paul Heyman of the independent circuit, and I'm like, holy cow. Okay. Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I don't get this one either.
Well, once again, I think they're waiting for something to happen. I'm talking creative in the WWE. Well, there might be some contracts that are up that they're not sure what's going to happen. They might not be 100% sure what's going to be happening with Brock Lesnar, even though they say he's signed a contract. Because the obvious push, I mean, the obvious push would be to have Strowman against Lesnar. But if you wanted to see what you've got going right now, the obvious push for me and you both would be to have Bobby Lashley turn heel on Braun Strowman.
Well, and the obvious push would be to have Bobby Lashley. I mean, I would think that Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar would sell more tickets than Bobby Lashley versus Braun Strowman or Braun Strowman versus Brock.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah, that would be the match I would want to see if I had my druthers.
Yeah, I would rather see Bobby Lashley versus Brock, and they should do a no disqualification and just let those guys tear each other apart and say, you know, keep the blood to a minimum, but you guys go out there and just tear this arena to pieces.
And they're both talented enough to do it.
Yeah. And I think that they could both carry each other enough to do it. And I'm not big on Braun. Braun to me lost his heat. He should have beaten. I mean, if they were going to have Braun beat Brock, it should have been last year. And that, I don't know. I just don't get. I don't like Braun's gimmick right now. I think it's stupid.
Well, I don't like him being a face. I mean, the crowd's going crazy for him. Somebody's going to get these hands. And he's a good performer, but I just think he's being miscast, to be honest with you.
So why did they fight Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
I don't know. They just needed a match, to be honest with you. It was a filler match.
And Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe, another one that's kind of like, why?
Yeah, if it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you get Roman Reigns to win, but where does it put him? Where does it put Joe?
And that's their main event. I mean, that's a stupid main event.
And Samoa Joe is so good. Now, I will admit,
I'm not arguing with about Samoa. I would never discredit Samoa Joe. You know, and let's be fair to Roman Reigns. I mean, everybody is so down on Reigns right now, you and me included. You know, to try to play fair, I don't blame him 100%. What was it? 2 years ago. 2 years ago, when he broke up from the Shield, and he was trying to cut promos and this and that, and we talked about Roman Reigns needs to shut up, not say anything, and leave it to keep talking. I'm going to come down there and I'm going to hit you in the mouth, and then bam, Superman punch right in the face. He doesn't need to be out there talking smack and this and that. He needs to just go back into the shadows, lurk, and come out and just, you know, it's just a silly thing that they're trying. I don't understand what they're trying to make out of Roman Reigns. He's never going to be the next Rock. He's just not.
No, he's not.
I mean, it doesn't matter what you want out of him. It's not going to happen.
And it's not his fault. I think he's just being misused. I really do.
Yeah, and a lot of people are so down on him, and you know, he works just as hard as a lot of other superstars, and he works out and he can put on a half decent match. I mean, remember that match between him and the Big Show?
Oh, it was awesome.
It was a no disqualification. There wasn't anything technical about it. They just destroyed announce tables, and they just destroyed each other. And I remember telling you in the studio up there,
in the Cash Valley Media Group studio, that is,
that, you know, how awesome of a match that was to see Roman just not try to be, you know, Hulk Hogan, and to not try to be The Rock, and to just go out there and just destroy the Big Show.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with our friend Chris, who all does Chris on the Map for us.
Chris?
Good old, yeah, from North Carolina.
I wonder if he's exchanged his diapers for the pens yet.
He better have, because, man, them diapers, they get kind of heavy. 5 to 7 pounds, that's all them things will hold.
Well, I'll tell you what, those things, they definitely are full of doo-doo.
Especially when Chris is around. And Shinsuke Nakamura, evidently, so.
Yeah, Chris probably having himself a nice ice cold Steve Weiser right now.
Yep. What a great guy. But anyway, he mentioned that he saw Roman's role as kind of like Big Sexy Kevin Nash when he came over to the WWE. Kind of being the bodyguard type. Let him play that. Let him be somebody's, not necessarily lackey, but to be part of a faction again, and let him be the muscle of the faction. I think that's where his role is.
That's a good point. He wasn't that great in the Shield, but they carried him. You know, Dean Ambrose's promos and stuff carried him over.
Is that my buddy Jax?
Yeah, that's him.
All right.
So, lots going on. And I was going to tell you, rewinding, jumping back to Bobby Lashley.
Uh-huh.
You know, so many gripes right now, Dave. I mean, how silly that stupid
the promo. What?
Bobby, thank you so much for sitting down here with me. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
1 second. Before we leave, if you don't mind if I do one thing.
Sure.
I just want to say hello to my sisters. Kathy, Jessica, Francis. I love you.
Why did that advance Bobby? Did it advance him as a character one iota?
I love you.
What was the purpose? I don't understand, Bobby Lashley. To a wrestling fan, he is a monster, and he comes out there and he's talking all kinds of soft, talking about he come from a great family.
I love you.
And he probably did. I'm not saying anything about him personally. I'm saying, but he looks like this beast. Let him be the beast.
I love you.
Walking Armageddon is what they called him in Impact. What a great name.
And let him beat the beast. Let him be the Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
You know? Let him, I mean, you know, the guy should just... The first thing he should have done was Paul Heyman was out there cutting a promo about how Brock Lesnar destroyed Roman Reigns or this or that. He should have interrupted Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman should have crapped down both legs.
Mm-hmm.
And Brock should have been standing in the ring next to Paul, and Bobby run down that arena, and just those two just go at it and have the whole entire roster have to separate them.
I love you.
That makes sense. What they've done with him, to me, doesn't.
And then just keep having that happen until SummerSlam. I mean, we're not that far away from SummerSlam.
No, we're not.
And what are they going to do, another two-week build-up to SummerSlam? I mean, you know, it's time to start putting some SummerSlam stories into play. And why are we wasting our time putting Bobby with Braun Strowman and this and that? It's like, let's just cut to the chase. Let's just get it done, you know?
I love you.
Have him destroy Brock.
I'm glad you brought up that point. Because the WWE, even though they cut back by two the amount of pay-per-view quality shows that they're going to have, and they're going to have more of the co-branded ones, but the lack of setup time for the upcoming pay-per-view is, I think, a real problem they need to address, because they're going month by month now with all these different little pay-per-views, and sure, your bigger feuds can continue, but what do you do about Daniel Bryan and Big Cass? Are you going to have them going to two or three different pay-per-views to get their issues settled? Or are you going to try to set up a different type of angle for said SummerSlam with Daniel Bryan and The Miz? That makes more sense to me than having a smaller feud with somebody like with Big Cass. So I think sometimes the WWE probably bites off a little bit more than they can chew, because they've got the network now, and the network is a success. And I think that success might be hurting them a little bit in the creative department.
Mm-hmm.